After she admitted to seeing another guy while he was out of town, he burned his own apartment down to hide the evidence of what he did to her. Was it revenge, or were there really voices in his head telling him to purify her body for eternal life? This is the true crime story of Chad Gurney, the independently wealthy world traveler who beheaded Zoe Sarnacki. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Today's case was recommended by longtime commenter Fiona, who said she lived in the town where this murder happened and actually ran into the woman who would later become the victim. I'm sure it's hard to imagine the girl who makes your bagel later being set on fire by a jealous boyfriend. Fiona said she was a nice kid. Today's case takes place in Portland, Maine. According to U.S. News and World Report's 2022 rankings, it's the 8th best place to live in the whole United States. My impression of people up there is that they're brewing their own beer, boating around on the islands on Casco Bay, and making old warehouses into those industrial chic restaurants with the exposed beams and the Edison bulbs. Zoe Sarnacki was one of these people making her way in the world in 2009. She was 18 years old, born on March 25, 1991, and a vegan high school dropout when she met Chad Gurney at a tattoo shop in the Old Port Historic District in Portland in 2009. She had been waiting until her 18th birthday to get a tattoo, a Gustav Klimt painting on her arm. Zoe had a brother and three sisters, 5 cats, a job at Bagel Works, and an interest in world religions and cultures. It's no surprise that Zoe and Chad had a connection based on their shared interests in travel and Eastern philosophy. 27-year-old Chad was a former student of the Virginia Christian School Liberty University and a star goalie on the school's lacrosse team. But in 2005, the 15-passenger van the team was traveling in was rear-ended by another school's van and ended up in the path of an oncoming semi-truck. The first responders had to use the jaws of life to save him, and a bone from his hip had to be placed in his leg to save it. Chad received a 7-figure settlement for almost dying that day and was now financially independent, traveling the world to learn about different religions and cultivating his image as a tough tattoo-having guy. His knuckles said P-A-I-N. So Zoe, vibrant and positive and with a close-knit family, must have been a light in Chad's life. Friends said she wasn't a judgmental person and may have thought she could help Chad work through his issues. He said, "We were soulmates. Everything about her was just truth." They'd been dating for about 5 weeks when Chad took a week-long trip to British Columbia and Canada. He returned to Portland on May 20th, 2009, and had Zoe stay at his apartment with him. He asked if she'd quit her job and go on his next trip with him, a spiritual quest to Thailand. "I can see how maybe it'd be an attractive offer from someone who could afford to pay the way for both of you, but Zoe turned Chad down, and maybe it's because she had a secret." 3 days later, Zoe told Chad that she'd messed around with another guy while he'd been away in Canada. Even Chad didn't consider them exclusive, so it shouldn't have been a big deal, but you know, he really, really liked her. So 2 days later, when Zoe climbed up to the loft in Chad's apartment to take a nap, he attempted to choke her. She tried to fight him off and yelled for him to stop, but he headbutted her and strangled her until she died. He then assaulted her now lifeless body and then cut off her head using 3 knives. He placed a crucifix between her legs and other items around her body in a way that seemed ritualistic to those who would later find her. Chad then showered and put on some fresh clothes and went to a gas station to fill a container with $2.50 worth of gas. He poured it all over Zoe's body, the bed, and everything she owned before making a trail from the bed to the edge of the loft, and then he lit it on fire. He picked up his packed bag and a shotgun, rented a hotel room 30 minutes away, and enjoyed the hotel's hot tub, as you do after a murder. In the meantime, firefighters were called to Chad's apartment, where they found Zoe's charred body. Early the next morning, Chad was on the phone with his best friend when he just calmly decided to admit that he'd killed Zoe because she'd done something to him. He said he just lost it on account of being hurt. Super coincidentally, the friend was stopped by a Portland cop at that exact moment for running a red light. Chad asked his friend to please tell the cop that Chad had been in the van accident and had suffered from a head injury that might have left him not all there mentally. He then turned himself into the police, saying that Zoe was a bright, wonderful being, and he just lost control and felt terrible. Chad was charged with one count of murder and one count of arson and gave up his right to a jury trial. He faced a lone judge armed with an insanity defense. His lawyer said he was suffering from depression and PTSD from the accident that almost killed him back in 2005 and needed over 20 surgeries. His injuries were causing chronic pain, but he'd been trying to withdraw from his narcotic painkillers recently, and he was delusional the day of the murder. The assistant DA argued that Chad wasn't insane, just mad that Zoe had quote-unquote cheated on him and wouldn't join him in Thailand. Chad told a social worker in jail that he'd been hearing voices and seeing signs before killing Zoe, and he once told a friend that he was a prophet. After his accident, a doctor diagnosed Chad with PTSD, an organic personality disorder, which is a change in emotional stability or judgment following a brain injury. This same doctor wrote that Chad continues to have significant distress regarding his relationships to women. While awaiting trial, Chad told a psychologist that he had such a problem with women that this is how it finally came out, and that he was sick of every girlfriend he'd ever had hurting him. This psychiatrist said that there was no evidence of Chad hearing voices or being delusional. But more than a year later, Chad was telling another psychiatrist hired by his lawyers that he didn't think Zoe would die that day because they shared eternal life. He was purifying her with a ritual for eternal life that had to include strangling, beheading, and fire. He said it was a test from a spirit guide he'd met a few months before the murder in Hawaii. But back when he was arrested, Chad had told the police that he had no particular reason for the beheading and the crucifix placement. Zoe's aunt said it was insulting to the family to hear Chad testify that he was doing good for Zoe, purifying her by killing her. His trial began on January 10, 2011, and one of the critical pieces of evidence was a link found on one of Chad's devices to a video of a woman getting beheaded. It said that the woman was being punished for cheating. The DA said this was proof of premeditation. The judge in the case rejected the insanity plea and convicted Chad of murder and arson. He was sentenced to 50 years for the murder and another 10 years for the arson, which the DA and, of course, the family thought was too light. However, Maine law lays out very specific cases in which a life sentence can be handed down, and because the torture of Zoe's body occurred after she was dead, none of them applied. Chad's sister said she feels terrible for Zoe's family, and after the verdict in the trial was read, she said, "They have closure today. She's in a better place, and unfortunately, my brother is still here, but in a way, he's dead to us. He really isn't a bad person. He just needs help. Hopefully, where he's going to get it." Zoe's mom says she forgives Chad as a way to begin to heal herself. In 2012, Chad's lawyers appealed to the Maine Supreme Court for a new trial, arguing that the police didn't have the probable cause needed to issue the warrants to search his devices. However, the judge found that there was credible evidence that Chad had communicated via Facebook and used his cell phone to call his best friend on the day of the murder, so it was reasonable to search those devices. The motion to suppress anything found from those forms of communication was denied. Chad Thomas Gurney is now 41 years old and is currently serving time in a Maine state prison where he's expected to be until at least 2068. Zoe Saranacki's family won a settlement against Chad for wrongful death and was awarded $1.35 million. A memorial bench in the Grand Trunk Cemetery in Portland, Maine remembers her. One of the more interesting aspects of this case to me is the testimony from Chad's ex-girlfriend. She was 20 years old, just 2 years older than Zoe, and said that Chad preferred women who were much younger than he was. She also said that she and Chad had never been in an exclusive relationship because he preferred to be with more than one woman at once. In fact, on the day that Chad killed Zoe, he had been texting his ex to come over that night. When she arrived later, firefighters and police were on the scene at the apartment. She said she didn't know Chad to be capable of such a thing, but she had never heard him talk about hearing voices or any other delusional things. Now, I don't want to doubt anyone's mental struggles, but I have a hard time seeing Chad as anything more than a jealous, jilted, wannabe boyfriend. My guess is that he was used to being the one in control, with his tough guy persona, dating multiple women. Multiple younger women who might look up to him or be wowed by his wealth. I wonder if he texted his ex that day because he wanted to get back at Zoe for quote-unquote cheating on him. The idea that he assaulted Zoe's body after she was already dead is the thing that really drives it home for me. It feels to me like he wanted to disrespect her in the way that he must have felt disrespected by her. About a month after he murdered Zoe, Chad told a social worker that it never would have happened had he seen the love letters she wrote to him before her death. That sounds to me like an insecure person who needed to have his ego stroked, but only a monster needs to have his ego stroked so much that he's willing to murder over it. But I'd love to know what you think. Was this revenge or something more? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.